prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned during the first hour. We're going to be talking about the role of AMPK in metabolic disease. And then at the top of the second hour, a new look at epigenetics. We have Dr. Karen Weichel for the first hour. And of course, the illustrious Dr. Mauro DiPasquale for the second hour. That should be a very, very great show for you to tune in live. If you're listening live, got some information for you. Thrive Advanced is the new protein powder that I released, and we are getting nothing but fantastic reviews from people who are trying it. People who say that they were previously told they were allergic to whey because of a food allergy test are not only tolerating, but as the name implies, thriving with this protein powder. People who say they're lactose intolerant, no stomach upset. We're getting these messages from people who said, I was going to give dairy protein one more try, and I'm so happy I did. We have a special. This is the week of the Arnold Sports Festival in Columbus, Ohio. We'll be spending the end of the week there. And we have a special coupon code. You can save 50% off, 50% off an order of Thrive Advanced with the coupon code Arnold Classic. It's all one word, Arnold Classic. And go to Thrive, T-H-R-I-V, protein.com to learn more. Okay. On with the show, my first guest is Dr. Karen Weichel. How are you doing, Dr. Weichel?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Thank you and welcome. The role of AMPK in metabolic disease. We hear a lot about AMPK, especially within this community, because we like to train hard. It's the cornerstone of the longevity prescription is, resistance training, intense exercise.
Right.
And we hear about AMPK and mTOR and things like that. Why this research? What happened before? What questions were you trying to answer with this research?
So really, like you said, a lot has been studied about AMPK, especially in the last, decade or so. A lot of that began with a lot of the work that you're familiar with in the muscle, showing that with exercise, it's enzymes activated, and it does all those great things for your body. And recently, there's actually been a lot of new data about AMPK and its role in more chronic diseases, so diabetes, cardiovascular disease, insulin resistance, and obesity. And we're figuring out that in these conditions, AMPK is actually dysregulated or deactivated. And there's been different reports in all sorts of model systems, and they show that all these things are going wrong, but it's not exactly clear if AMPK is really causing these problems or it's just another marker of disease. And what we wanted to do was to kind of, give everybody an update on where that was, but also look at where the research is going in the future. And we think that, one of those things would be sort of looking at its interactions with other proteins, like you mentioned, like mTOR. And what kind of brought this to light for us was looking at some of the studies that are out there for people on drugs such as statins or another popular drug for diabetics is metformin. And they found that while these drugs do great things and really improve people's lives and conditions, they don't really completely resolve all their issues. And so we think that one of the reasons here is because obviously AMPK is not the whole answer, right? I mean, it's interacting with all these other proteins, all these other things in the cell. And we think that maybe this AMPK-mTOR interaction that we really need to look at in more detail. And more specifically, we want to look at where in the cell, these two proteins are actually interacting and to study them in the context of disease, not, in a healthy system.
It's funny because I've been a big proponent of resveratrol for a lot of years. And of course, when the study came out for the use of metformin as an anti-aging / longevity drug, which everybody misused the title of that and led people to believe that taking metformin and just exclusively focusing on blood sugar levels, that you were going to somehow reduce the rate of aging. Because we know, we did that show in 2007, cellular senescence is triggered by glucose signaling. We know sugar can age you faster. But then somehow AMPK and mTOR kind of got thrown into that. Like, oh, they're bad too, because, you know, they're a problem as well. And I started taking metformin. I called my doctor. He's a great doctor. I have a concierge a doctor. You know, I pay for a visit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said, what about metformin for me? He goes, well, it wouldn't hurt you, but my blood sugar my fasting blood sugar is 67 milligrams a deciliter in the morning, or a liter, whatever it is. I mean, it's like I have model blood sugar. I says, is it going to hurt me with that? He goes, no, it won't. Well, when I started looking at the research, I found out that metformin interrupts mTOR C1, a critical protein in the signaling of the protein synthetic response from both exercise and high protein meals. And I thought, I don't care if I live longer, if I got to be in a wheelchair because I can't walk anymore because my muscles all wasted away. You know, what good is that? And it started to dawn on me at that moment, something I've learned about other systems in the body, is, and that is that there's pathological and physiological changes that sometimes you think that they're in the same realm or the same domain, where you go, well, if this does this in that way, then in the other way it should do exactly the opposite. And it just doesn't work out that way, does it?
Right. No, not at all. And the thing is, a lot of the pathophysiological stuff hasn't really been studied in enough detail. Or at least, and especially in humans, the results aren't out yet. I mean, a lot of the trials that they're starting to look at now, looking at metformin and combining with all these other drugs, you know, we're just getting the results now, and very few of them have actually looked at things like diabetes and cardiovascular. Most of that work is still in the cancer field. So it's really dangerous for people to kind of take that information and apply it to somebody who's perfectly healthy and, you know, everything's working normally.
Right. So what does AMPK stand for? I have a guess, but let's hear it from you.
So it's AMP activated protein kinase. So it's basically because it's a protein kinase that the first thing that was identified that would regulate it was a molecule called AMP, which is a type of energy package for the cell.
Right.
So basically it's turned on when the cell does not have a lot of energy, and it helps to burn fat and to make more energy for the cell, and then it turns off when the cell has plenty of energy. So it's a basic energy regulator.
Okay. So talk about the review that your group did. So you looked at available research out there. What qualified something to be included in your review?
We're looking to cover a couple things. So first we wanted to show kind of a little bit of a history, I guess, of what's been known about it. So we started off talking a little bit about the exercise, just because that was kind of where it made its biggest splash, maybe 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
And a lot of the work since then has been repeated and shown that, you know, exercise in humans is great for activating AMPK in muscle, and how this, you know, may contribute to maybe a reason why exercise does all these great things for improving your health. But we really want to focus on its role in diseases. And so we were looking at kind of studies in both humans, although there's not as many as there was with the exercise story, and mostly animal models, at how AMPK is dysregulated in the liver and in the fat and the blood vessels. You know, and these are sites that are important for chronic disease, important for, you know, fatty liver development or heart attacks.
Right.
Or and so we're just basically looking for everything everything that was out there that would give us conclusive results. And obviously, you know, some studies are better than others. So we looked for those that had, you know, really specific animal models. If you want to look at the effect of knocking out the AMPK gene on what happens in the liver, we wanted to look at a liver-specific knockout mouse, you know, not a whole knockout mouse, that type of thing.
Right, right. Okay. So how many studies actually were qualified to be accepted into the review?
There were, let's see, there were, it was quite a lot, maybe 60 or so.
Oh, good, yeah.
And we didn't, I know this is by no means a comprehensive review, I mean, because people have been writing reviews about AMPK, you know, for a while now, but we just wanted to change, focus it a little bit more, so we didn't talk about, we didn't talk about, you know, its enzyme kinetics and, you know, the different subunits and that kind of stuff. We wanted to focus more on the chronic disease aspect.
Right, right.
Of it.
Okay, so once a study was accepted, what were the tests that you used to analyze the data to, and what kind of results did you see?
So we didn't necessarily do like a meta-analysis type of thing.
Okay.
But we did see that, basically for things related to, obesity, diabetes, those types of conditions that are associated with overnutrition, that basically AMPK activity goes down. It's dysregulated. We did, when we looked at its role in cancer, the results were much less clear, because in cancer, it really depended upon what type of cancer you were looking at and what stage of cancer you were at to how AMPK might be playing a role. So there's really a lot more question in that field about what this enzyme is doing and you know, and how it can be used therapeutically.
Well, were there any clear patterns, like on cancers that are highly are they called glycogenic, the ones that like sugar? Glucogenic. In cancers that are highly glucogenic, do we see a different AMPK imprint than, say, in cancers that are not?
You know, I'm actually not sure about that particular instance, but I know in general it seemed that AMPK appears to be, you know, anti-cancer. It appears to have this tumor suppressor effect, so it's beneficial, except it may also, there's a few studies that show it may play a role in the initiation stages, so it's, I guess, it's muddy, but I would say across the board, I would say more likely to be beneficial.
Okay.
For cancer.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Here's what I want to do. I want to take our first commercial break. And when we come back, I've got lots more questions for you. We're going to stay with this discussion for a little while longer, because I actually have become, you know, I train very hard. I eat a very high protein diet. I do things that improve response to exercise. I want more muscle. I want to be stronger. And just in the past couple of years, because of some of the research I started looking at AMPK and mTOR, I started thinking, man, am I speeding my way into premature aging because of this? And clearly I'm not. I mean, I look, you know, I look and I function much better than a soon-to-be 58-year-old. But it's I just started to wonder, especially when you look at all the research on the potential for metformin as an anti-aging drug and how it suppresses AMPK and mTORC. I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe I'm not doing myself a lot of good with this this noble pursuit of more muscle if I want to live longer. So we're going to get to the bottom of this in a minute, so stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
You're a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Madebyhemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils, high-end CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Karen Weichel. We're talking about the role of AMPK in metabolic disease. So from the previous segment, it kind of sounds like when AMPK is suppressed, or there may be some potential for suppression of AMPK to actually be related to, we don't know if it's corollary or causative at this point in time, with some metabolic disorders, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, okay, so what is the relationship between AMPK and mTOR?
So when people really first started studying these two enzymes, they really did in these drastic conditions. So they either looked at, like, in a starvation state or in just in a normal nutrition state.
Fed state.
And in a starvation state, you have activated AMPK, and you have a low mTOR activation. And then the idea is when you go to a fed state, AMPK turns off, and since you have all these nutrients coming in, mTOR is activated, you can start making proteins and building cells and growing. And so in those two circumstances, you think they're kind of in this reciprocal relationship.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, what happens when you have a system that goes into this kind of overfed state, which, you know, wasn't something maybe we had to think about 50 years ago, but today with all this rates of, you know, chronic disease from overnutrition, you know, we want to know what's going on. And it's not really that reciprocal relationship anymore when you go into this high nutrient state. And so that's really what we're trying to figure out. It's how they're related.
Interesting. And so, and it very well could be that, and we see this with a lot of systems in the body. You know, the body likes certain pulses. Like we've done shows about the protein synthetic response of a high protein meal post workout. And
sure.
we know that protein synthetic response is greater if there has been a period of time before this high protein meal is introduced that amino acids in the bloodstream have started to dip or come down, as opposed to, you know, just constantly eating high protein meals. It's almost that refractory period that enhances the protein synthetic response. So it could be something like the yin and yang of AMPK and mTOR have this dance that when they do it appropriately, you build muscle and you stay healthy, as opposed mm-hmm. to one just switching on all the time for long periods of time, and then you don't see the response you're looking for. Even in mTOR, if you have mTOR turned on all the time, you don't have an enhanced protein synthetic response to exercise.
Right, because your body's adapted to something.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion the body operates in a state of availability. And when things are available too much, the body starts to turn off the reasons you want them there. So it's really interesting. So what about creatine? Okay, so creatine increases AMPK, does it not?
Yes.
Okay, so when we look at a sick population and we see that they have been in a fed state too frequently for too long, and as a result, they have this dysregulation of AMPK. Would it be simple enough just to give them what is considered a sports nutrition dose of creatine a day, 5 grams of creatine? Can you raise their AMPK that way?
You know, I don't think it would hurt at all. I don't know if it would raise it enough to have a clinical, clinical effect and outcome. But I don't think it would hurt at all.
Okay. Okay.
I think much less is done about creatine, at least on the clinical side. I know it's very popular with the supplements, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So what disease states do we see become an issue when AMPK is dysregulated?
The main ones would be diabetes, atherosclerosis. One of the, I guess, more telling examples of his role in disease was kind of some studies that we did a few years ago. But we were looking at patients who are obese and are undergoing bariatric surgery. And so bariatric surgery actually does a lot of things. In addition to reducing weight, one of the things it does, it pretty much reverses diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. And we really don't know why it does that. It's independent of, you know, changes in weight loss. And so a lot of people now are trying to figure out, you know, what's the mechanism here? What is this surgical procedure doing that really, really gets rid of the diabetes? But one of the things we found is that once you have patients undergo the procedure, their AMPK levels go right back up. afterwards. And even the patients who had better outcomes afterwards had higher levels of AMPK, lower levels of inflammation and oxidative stress. Also those who were more responsive to insulin also had lower levels, higher levels of AMPK.
So is there a precursor to AMPK that's produced during the stretch mechanism of the gut, the lumen, and the stomach?
Not that I'm aware of.
I bet they discover one. I mean, think about it. We've talked about the whole what is it, GNY or something, GNRU, gastric bypass.
GNY.
When they make the stomach smaller, several hormones, cholecystokinin and several other gastric hormones,
right,
seem to right themselves, and it's been attributed to the stretch mechanism. So a person who eats, you know, 5,000-8,000 calories a day and sits around all day long, their stomach gets stretched out, and so it takes more to trigger the stretch mechanism. They got to eat more. But when you make the stomach smaller, it gets stretched when they drink water.
Yeah. No, it definitely makes sense. And I can't speak to the stretch mechanism, but like you're saying, one of the hormones that changes, in addition to the cholecystokinin, was GLP-1.
Right.
Is one that controls your body's release of insulin. And so that changes dramatically after the surgery, and that is an AMPK activator. So that's one of the routes that people are thinking may be involved here. But yeah, it's still kind of a big mystery.
Yeah, very cool. I want to take a break. I've got lots more questions, so just stay tuned. This is Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all 4 forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Karen Weichel. And she's with the, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're with the University of Boston, correct?
Right, Boston University.
Boston University Department of Medicine. And we're talking about the role of AMPK in metabolic disease. So let's talk a little bit about exercise for a second and something else that I'm a big fan of, intermittent fasting. We've been talking about intermittent fasting on the show way before it became popular because we took a more evolutionary look at meal frequency. And we realized that our evolutionary ancestors probably fasted for long periods of time because of access and availability of food. And that this was actually one of the gifts that we've gotten from them, and that is metabolic flexibility, the ability to go without eating and not fall down on the floor and die, which is lost on this population because most people can't go for 2 hours without food. They get the shakes, they get dizzy, and this is obviously people who are moving into the diabetes realm. What about the role of things like intermittent fasting and strenuous exercise, you know, high intensity exercise, on the correcting the dysregulation of AMPK in a sick population?
Sure. I mean, I think they definitely have a lot of promise, and that's really why, you know, the first line of defense when you go to the doctor is they're going to recommend, you know, a lifestyle modification. They're going to tell you to exercise and eat better and hopefully tell you how to do those things. because, I mean, both of those things do actually improve AMP kinase. There was a study in the 90s called the Diabetes Prevention Program, where they basically took pre-diabetics, so people who were had impaired glucose regulation, but they weren't, you know, totally diabetic yet, and they were separated into three groups. So one group was given this intensive lifestyle intervention, where they worked with trainers, they went to counseling. They exercised for 150 minutes a week. They were, you know, given really intense advice about dieting and eating right. The other group was given metformin, so which is an AMPK activator, among other things. And the third group was just given a placebo. And, you know, they found that both the metformin and the exercise group did better than placebo, as far as fewer people got diabetes. But actually, it was the people that were on this exercise, eating healthy arm that did the best. They did much better than those that were just given this pill of an AMPK activator.
I have to say this with all sincerity. I think that you're a really, really good, optimistic, good-hearted person. Because I don't believe that doctors are telling their patients as the first line of defense, look, you need to eat right and exercise, and let me show you how you should be eating. Because quite frankly, and we've done these shows, we've talked about research about doctors, and the reality is that doctors don't even confront their patients who are obese. They don't. And we wondered why. There was actually a study published last year, and we talked about it. And you know, they're not saying anything to them. But when they go from pre-diabetic to diabetic, they will, you know, they'll prescribe a drug. So I think that what I hope happens is that more and more physicians go, wow, I really don't have a lot of knowledge about nutrition. How could I? With all the stuff I had to learn in medical school, you want me to be a nutritionist too? Come on. I mean, doctors are committing suicide because of the load in school today. We just did that show. I mean, you know, so a doctor's office, the way it opens up and they say, hey, we need a phone book, you know, a phone, we need our name in the phone book, we need a dietitian, we need a personal trainer. Then, you know, we hear a lot of lip service about specific types of new medicine, you know, treat the whole person. Let's get all the different specialists in one room. No, no, no. You're missing two really important specialists, the dietitian and the person who's going to teach them how to exercise.
Sure.
And if your practice doesn't employ those two people, be prepared for you to be phased out of medicine someday.
Yeah. I mean, if you just tell people, you know, go home and eat better and exercise, you know.
But doc, I eat good now. Yeah. I eat whole grains and whole grain pasta. You know, the other thing that it's hard to get physicians to admit to, and no wonder why, because there's so much misinformation out there that's being driven by industry. But this term came up 6 years ago on this show, and I love it. You know, if you had a patient that said, every time I drink milk, I get terrible diarrhea and cramps, I feel terrible, and the doctor would say, well, don't drink milk anymore because you're obviously lactose intolerant or intolerant to something in dairy. That's a very, very standard thing, very understandable, and no one would expect the doctor not to say that. Well, when a patient comes in and their blood sugar levels are 120 and 130 and 140 fasted, the doctor should look at that person as being carbohydrate intolerant. Now, look, you should cut back on your carbs because your body has a hard time managing sugar. So let's not give it a lot of the stuff that converts easily to sugar for a while. See what happens. But doctors are afraid to tell their patients, cut out the starchy carbs because there's all sorts of backlash from industry.
Yeah. And also, I think because maybe they know that the patients, you know, people are less willing to do that. You know, they're more willing to take pills. And they don't want to change what they've been eating for 50 years, 60 years. You know,
But you know what? I agree with you. Patient compliance is an issue. But patient compliance is an issue just getting them to take their pills. Oh, my insurance company won't pay for it anymore. Oh, I just don't want to take it. I'm afraid to take pills. I mean, people come off their meds all the time. I mean, this is a huge discussion amongst physicians. How do you get people to stay on their meds? But I was lucky. I was 330 pounds and very sick when I turned 40 years old. And I had a doctor named Dr. Jim Swift. He was trained in the Navy. He was a no mince words kind of guy. He went right at it. I locked it. I liked it. He was from New York. I was from New York. He said to me, look, you got to lose weight. He goes, and he showed me, he took my wrist and he moved my arm up and down. He says, it's all about this. I says, what? He says, putting food in your mouth. He said, put less food in your mouth every day. And you know what? That may have been a crude way to hit but I went home and I thought about it. I thought, wait a minute, he's right. If I eat less, I'm going to lose weight. And people need to be told things that way instead of sugarcoating it. And, you know, you got to be careful what you say. You don't want to be offensive. You want to be politically correct. Look, the weight, no pun intended, of this healthcare debacle, I've said it before. We got 1.6 million people a year dying from chronic avoidable disease. 7 out of 10 deaths are a result of chronic disease. This is a bigger problem than global warming because we will be gone off the planet before the planet gets too hot if we stay with this program right now.
No, I agree. I agree. And even the healthcare dollars that are put into it. I mean, if you got rid of all this avoidable disease, imagine what that money could be put towards, you know, towards those diseases that we can avoid, you know, and people that maybe, you know, through no fault of their own are fighting it. It's crazy. But and I think also there's an issue where I don't think people, maybe more so than they used to, but still there's a lot of people that don't make the link between what you eat and your health. Like nutrition, like, you know, what you eat is that's what you do. You eat 3 times a day. You know, that's just part of life. But I don't think they equate that with feeling sick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still a disconnect there in some people.
But whose fault is that? And I'm going to say it. I don't want you to say it because you have to be very neutral here. But whose fault is that? That's the pharmaceutical agenda's fault. It's not your fault. It's your ancestors' fault. oh, you're overweight because you have the thrifty gene. We all have the thrifty gene. That's why we survived 40,000 years of an ice age. I mean, come on, 40,000 years? Think about it. 40,000 years of nothing growing out of the ground to eat. You'd think we don't all have the thrifty gene now that we're here today? So it's, unfortunately, teaching people to take responsibility for their health is something that is hard to do today. But it has to be done.
Yeah.
It has to be done. All right, let's take our last commercial break. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
The best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web. Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at Michael's Health.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in 2 great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. A little bit later in the show, we're going to be joined by Dr. Mara DePasquale. Dr. DePasquale started promoting the ketogenic diet 35 years ago for athletes. And people looked at him like he had 3 heads. No, 4. Come full circle, and now we're learning that once an athlete becomes fat-adapted, fuel is virtually unlimited. And contrary to the whole idea that you've got a carb load and depend on glycogen, which is really a finite source of energy. And I mean, it all started with Dr. DePasquale 35 years ago. I mean, it's great. So we're going to be talking about epigenetics with him a little bit later. So you want to stick around for that. Right now, we're talking with Dr. Karen Weichel. So, Dr. Weichel, what do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from this research of yours?
Well, kind of what we've been saying. I'm hoping that the main point is kind of the importance of exercise as a prevention technique, because, you know, we've known that exercise does all these great things for you, but we're highlighting that it activates this enzyme, which we know is dysregulated by disease. And, you know, if research has shown in humans, if you do actually stick to your exercise and you stick to your diet, you can reduce, you know, and reduce your disease and improve your livelihood dramatically. And so we've also found that when we looked at how exercise affects both healthy people and those who are obese or diabetic, there is a differential effect. And it looks like that because you may be already diabetic, your system's already a little damaged, a little impaired, you may have to exercise more than some, you know, your counterpart who's perfectly healthy. And so, you know, while you may not think it's fair and you're doing just as much as your neighbor, you know, you have to deal with what's given you, and you have to really do your best and work with what you have. Now, unfortunately, if, you know, you wait till it's too late, you know, maybe you can't exercise for one reason or another, or your disease is just too far progressed. You know, there's a lot of great treatments out there. Statins revolutionized, you know, the market. Metformin is one of the most widely prescribed diabetic drugs, but they're not really cutting it all the way. And so it looks like it's going to be these combination therapies, which unfortunately are still, you know, we're still not there yet.
Right.
That's where a lot of the basic research is going. But it looks like it's going to be figuring out, you know, these right levels of combining, you know, AMPK activators with mTORC1 inhibitors and you know, maybe some other drug targets. Like one of the ones that we talk about in the last half of the article was, you know, this part in the cell where both AMPK and mTOR become activated,
mm-hmm.
as part of the lysosome.
Uh-huh.
And so if we can figure out how overnutrition and diabetes is affecting the lysosome, that may really have a ripple effect on affecting AMPK and mTOR. And so kind of by combining these three separate facets, we may be able to better treat people and better improve their odds of a healthier life. So it really depends on, you know, what stage you're at, but of course we want to emphasize really exercise is a way to go to prevent this.
Men and women have a different creatine biosynthetic response. Men typically produce much more creatine than women. And then of course we get creatine from our diet, but nowadays there's so many people out there who are afraid of animal protein. Well, that's where you get a lot of creatine. In fact, pork and tuna have the highest levels of creatine pound for pound of any animal flesh out there. But all animal flesh has some amount of creatine in it because it's stored in muscle,
right.
So.
Right.
So we know that women don't produce as much creatine physiologically, endogenous creatine, as men. Is there a difference in the AMPK discussion when we talk about women versus men?
So they've done that with exercise, and they found that a lot of times, like, AMPK will increase in both women and men with exercise, although it may be different sites, so different types of muscle, and also after different types of exercise, whether it's, you know, through resistance training or is it through, you know, aerobic exercise. So both get the benefits of exercise. It just may be in different muscle groups, which would make sense if, you know, one muscle group is more dominant, you know, in men than in women.
So what did, maybe I missed it. Did you say what muscle group women seem to dominate in the production of creatine? I have to believe it's lower body. I have to believe it's quads and glutes and hamstrings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I believe so. It's not on the tip of my tongue, but it's,
because when you go to the gym, women can leg press, women can squat, you know, women can do lower body, you know, they can pull heavy deadlifts, you know, 2-3 times their weight, some women. I mean, it's amazing. And I've always thought to myself, you know, women possess, lower body strength similar to that of a man, and where the difference is the upper body strength. And we also know that androgen receptor proliferation in a man's upper body, his traps, his shoulders, is much higher than in a woman. So it makes sense that they would produce more creatine for lower body muscles.
Sure.
Interesting. Did we miss anything that you want to get out there about this discussion?
No, I don't think so. I think, I just wanted to get out there just how, you know, I know this is only one enzyme that we're focusing on, but it just has a role in all these diseases that we can, and it can be modulated by something that's in our power to do without, you know, without going to the pharmacy. So, you know, we might as well take that and use it to our advantage, whether it's through exercise, whether it's through, you know, modifying your diet. You know, I think there's a lot of tools out there for people to use to kind of avoid disease, even if it is running in their families. So this just kind of highlights, you know, one of the aspects that they can look to.
Well, and so does intensity play a role in AMPK upregulation? Like, for instance, there's some research out there that high-intensity interval training produces a better response in weight loss and improved VO2 max and even blood sugar management in obese individuals. So does intensity play a role? Because there's a lot of people that go to the gym, and they really aren't working out. You know what I mean? They look like they're working out, but, you know, they're texting while they're doing leg presses and stuff. They're not really working out, in my book. Does intensity play a role?
Yeah, so... well, also, you have to caveat that with, you know, what you would consider, you know, low intensity might be somebody else's high intensity.
Oh, no, yeah, you know, it's very subjective. I agree.
So intensity does matter, and it kind of depends on what outcome you're looking at. So, you know, maybe if you're looking at, you know, your blood lipid profile, that may have, you know, that may be greatly improve for high intensity workouts, but if you're looking at another aspect of how AMPK is involved with metabolism, it may be that long term low intensity training does a better job, which is true because it's really a central regulator involved in a lot of different processes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say, you know, stick with whatever regimen you prefer.
Whatever keeps you going to the gym, in other words.
Yeah.
At the very, very beginning of the interview, you mentioned the word statin drugs. Statin drugs have been associated with muscle wasting. Do statin drugs play a role in disrupting AMPK, even, you know, so, on their own, intrinsically?
So statins actually activate AMPK in certain tissues. Which, yes, I know it's kind of opposite to, you know, what we know it does in muscles. So it's been found in, like, your blood vessels that statins can actually activate AMPK and improve your vasodilation and the flow of blood. But like you said, it has these bad effects on muscle wasting. So, you know, statins by themselves are not, you know, they're not the miracle end all. You know, you kind of have to look on a case-by-case basis, you know, what somebody's condition is. You know, and just like metformin is known to activate AMPK in the liver, but whether it does so in other tissues like the blood vessels, it's really not clear yet.
Right.
So, and a lot of that still has to be worked out in humans, at least.
The whole pharmacological specificity thing is kind of going out the window these days. You know, we have proton pump inhibitors were thought to only inhibit proton pumps in the gut. Now we're finding out that there's proton pumps in the heart, and they're inhibiting
right.
that. And now there's a new link to dementia that could be proton pumps in the brain for all we know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why you don't really want to jump into any of these drugs if you don't have to, right? You don't know what the side effects are now, but more importantly, you don't know what they're going to be. You know, if you're on this drug for 5-10 years, how that's going to, you know, affect...
other systems.
Affect you, yeah. I mean, before metformin came out, there was the first version of the drug was fenformin, which was a much stronger AMPK activator, which people thought would be great because it works so well in all these, you know, clinical models before they went to humans. But when they gave it to people, it had really bad side effects because it was too strong, you know, and people died of lactic acidosis and, you know, because it was basically pushing their muscles too far.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, you don't want to jump into any of these if you don't have to.
Dr. Weichel, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
You too.
All right. We're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Mauro DiPasquale to take a new look at epigenetics. Stay tuned.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit Coach Rob Regis or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at SuperHuman Radio. superhuman.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need MetaCurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Boy, that's some low music right there. Welcome back. You know, when people start talking to me about genetics, you know, they'll say, well, so-and-so's grandmother had breast cancer and so-and-so's mother had breast cancer. And so so-and-so probably will get breast cancer because it's genetic. And I say all the time, look, you don't just get your genetics from your family. You get your lifestyle from them too. It could just be that the lifestyle that you've been taught doesn't work for your genetics. And had you had the same genetics but eaten a different way or lived a life a different way, you would not develop these diseases that you seem to think you are a hostage to because of your genetics. And we're going to talk more about this phenomenon of epigenetics with my next guest, Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. How are you doing, Dr. DiPasquale?
I'm just fine, Carl. How are you?
Fantastic. How true is that, what I just said? You know, you don't just get your genetics from your family. You get the way you live your life from your family.
Well, you know, there are so many things that change your what they call the phenotype. In other words, the way you are in the world. So you could have a genetic predisposition, for example, a certain gene that may predispose you to breast cancer, but then there are alterations you can make in your lifestyle depending on actually what happened with your parents before you were even born can have some changes that would be transmitted to you, and then when you're in the fetal stage, changes, you know, before you're born, changes can take place in the mother, and then after you're born, changes can take place through the environmental changes, transmissions and stuff, that actually change the way you are in the world as against the way you would be if it was just raw genetic data.
Now, you said something on a previous show, and we actually got a response from people immediately asking for you to qualify the statement, and you did. And I want to bring that back up at the beginning of this interview right now. So,
okay.
People said, well, if we can see genetic changes so quickly because of epigenetics, then why aren't we seeing those things? And you said, well, in fact, we are. That particular day, a study was released on salmon, and the genetic difference between farm-raised salmon and wild salmon in just one generation has changed, hasn't it?
Well, actually, I made a mistake there. It wasn't salmon, although it hasn't been done with salmon. It was steelhead trout.
Okay.
And they took the first generation after they were caught in the wild, and then they were kept in captivity under restricted conditions, you know, obviously for farming. And they found many significant DNA changes in the DNA in the first generation farmed steelhead trout as against the wild steelhead trout, which were the parents. So genetic changes as far as the phenotypic, you know, the result of the changes can occur very rapidly. And so, you know, the environment, including everything that's happened to your parents, everything that happens to you, you know, while your mother's pregnant, and everything that happens to you after can change the way you are in the world as against the way you would be under different circumstances.
So are there any phenomenons today in human health that you could point at and say this could potentially be a result of epigenetics? A lot of people love to say autism is a result of epigenetics, but I don't know if that's an accurate statement. What are your thoughts? Is there anything out there that we can say, look, it happened to the steelhead trout, we're seeing it happen in humans, look at this?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's harder to deal with humans because, you know, you can't do the same thing with humans as you can with animals, fish, etc. But there's no doubt that when they do genome-wide analysis, that changes do occur due to epigenetic changes. In other words, I don't know if people understand what epigenetic really means. There's a bit of history behind here. There, back in the 1800s, there was a fellow that called Lamarck, who basically said, and this was the early 1800s, basically said that what happened to you in the environment would change your genes, and this genes would be transmissible to the next generation. In other words, what they call transgenerational transmission.
Right.
So, but his theories then Darwin came in with his theory, you know, the theory of evolution, and Lamarck was kind of ignored. They thought, well, okay, this doesn't make any sense, but Darwin does make sense. So now we're coming back to the Lamarckian sort of genetics. It takes into account the immediate effects of the internal and external environments in changing the individual's genetic makeup and expression in the transmission of these changes to future generations. Now, we're finding that in when we do genome-wide analysis, for example, of someone as a fetal, at the fetal stage, and we can change that, of course, you know, by changing the genetic code, even in the germline, and this gets complicated, but you can definitely see that there were changes due to the environment in various individuals. So there's no doubt that the epigenetic changes do occur. And actually, I don't even agree with what they say about epigenetic changes.
Give me an example. What is it that they say that you don't agree about?
Well, they back in 2008 at the Cold Spring Harbor meeting, they basically defined epigenetic as a process that was not heritable. There were changes made in the phenotype, in other words, the way the DNA was expressed and how it turned out in the individual, but these traits were not transmissible to the next generation because they disappeared from one generation to the other. In other words, they weren't permanent. But in fact, what we're showing now, and there are several studies that show this, that these changes actually are transmissible in some cases. The way I look at it is if epigenetic changes take place, then, and they're transmissible, then they're not really all that much different from mutations, which
right.
is the basis of Darwin's theories. So I call them epimutations.
Mm-hmm.
So and in the end, I believe that the epimutations become part of the hardwired
yes.
DNA
and it makes,
as circumstances occur.
This makes perfect sense from an evolutionary standpoint. So, two parents have an environment that they occupy. That occupation delivers signals to their DNA that these are the types of foods that are available. This is abundant. This is not abundant. Here's where the threats are. That's imprinted so that when that pair of parents has a baby, that baby, their jumping off point, so to speak, becomes what the environment is perceived to be moving forward into the future.
Because, yeah, as well as what's happened while it was in the fetal
stage. Oh, and absolutely. That's like the last minute prep. Like, okay, we got everything. Has anything changed that we need to know about? Yeah, all of a sudden there's no food. Okay, thrifty gene on. This baby is not going to have a lot of food. We have to. So when we look at this phenomenon, you know, we talk about evolution and we talk about genetics like they are these concrete environments, these concrete domains, mm-hmm. and that it takes years and years of chiseling and modifying in order to see change occur. If that was true, we would have been wiped out already. Because
yeah,
you have one, sometimes you have one generation to make a drastic change like, hey, it's sunny out. Oh my God, it's an ice age for 40,000 years now. So you have short periods of time for the body to go, okay, our offspring, because don't forget, the body's job, number one, is offspring, offspring, offspring. Perpetuation of the species. It makes perfect sense that it's actually epigenetics that then drives the genetic changes that we see through evolution.
Well, I mean, there's epigenetic tags in the DNA sequence, in the RNA sequence, in transcription, for example, of the DNA code into RNA and then into proteins, for example. Okay, so what happens is these epigenetic tags react to stimuli present from the outside world. It adjusts the specific genes in the genome to respond to rapidly changing environments. So this response can be very, very quick. Or it can take a more, longer period of time. Then, the only thing that can be transmitted is germline. In other words, sperm and egg.
Right.
What's contained in those things can be transmitted to the next generation. Epigenetic changes can take place not just system wide, but can take place in specific regions of the body. So unless it's kind of system wide and it's involved with the germline, you're not going to get transmission of these changes. But that happens also in mutations. Unless mutations are involving the germline, you're not going to get these transmissions either. So that's a Darwinian basis, theory of evolution, which is mutations. Mutations occur in alleles, and if they're beneficial to survival, then they will, they'll survive, where the other ones won't survive,
right.
And eventually they become the DNA code. Well, this can be changed almost immediately, not over multiple generations.
In fact, we did a show not too long ago where it showed that protein starvation in as little as 6 or 4 weeks before offspring of before fertilization of an egg encoded a father's germ passed on to his offspring with markers of developing metabolic disorders in the microRNA. So we're talking about, you talk about how acute circumstances encode what's going to happen in your offspring moments before you actually send that sperm in to fertilize an egg. They took rats, rodents, and they had them have normal lives, and then just for the last 4 weeks before they allowed them to procreate, starved them of protein. They fed them lots of food. They just didn't feed them a high protein diet.
Right.
That acute situation, followed by fertilizing an egg, told that egg, this is the world you're coming into, so be prepared. And those offspring had a much higher rate of metabolic disorder.
Yeah, that's true. And that's true in a lot of diseases as well. I mean, being exposed, for example, to organopesticides, et cetera, has been shown to result in lower cognitive development in the next generation.
Man, it's really, I mean, I hate to think about the future on this planet, the way things are going. Okay.
Well, especially with the, with all the estrogen compounds and, all the compounds that change the systems in the body, hormonal systems, et cetera. Yeah, you're right.
Chemical soup we live in. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to try to take this discussion and turn it into, so what does this mean for the average person? Let's talk about epigenetics from the average person. Why should they even care? Okay?
Okay, sure.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Mauro DiPasquale.
Makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale about epigenetics. This is an epigenetic update. So before we start talking about what we knew about epigenetics and what we know now about epigenetics, why should people care about epigenetics, Dr. DiPasquale? Why should they even have an interest in this discussion?
Okay, you know, a little bit of background first, okay? I think everybody's familiar with DNA, the genetic structure, the raw genetic structure that we all possess. Epigenetics is supposed to change the way DNA functions rather than changing the actual raw DNA. And you know, as I've said, I disagree with this because I think down the line it actually changes the raw DNA. Now, DNA is not just DNA in you know, sort of the twisted DNA molecule. It's wrapped around histones, which are proteins that package and order the DNA into various structural units. Now, these histones and the DNA have an effect on RNA and the translation of what's going to be produced. In other words, if you're going to produce a certain protein or certain enzyme, there are tags, sort of epigenetic tags that are affected by the outside world. In other words, your environment. So these tags can alter the way the DNA functions and the way the histones, the way how tightly wrapped and how untightly wrapped the DNA molecule is, and then the translation of that into RNA, which is one that goes on and produces proteins through a complex system of ribosomes, etc. Now, these proteins and enzymes will affect everything that your body does. So if you can change, if you have environmental changes that can go down to the DNA, histone, RNA, and then the translation aspect of the RNA into proteins, you're actually affecting everything. You're affecting your hormones, your metabolism, you're affecting the way you treat your macronutrients, you're affecting almost every aspect of what of the effect of what you eat, your environment, what you're exposed to, as the effect will have on the way you are in the world. In other words, whether or not you're able to build muscle, whether or not your performance is going to improve, whether or not your strength is going to improve, whether your body composition is going to improve, whether you're going to lose weight, lose body fat, etc. It all is related to that line of transmission from the DNA, raw DNA, right into the production of various compounds and proteins that affect your metabolism and everything else about you, including your mind. You know, every aspect. Psychiatric illnesses, for example, can be affected by this. Mental health can be affected. Cognitive function can be affected. As I mentioned, exposure to certain chemicals can actually, in the next generation, decrease cognitive function. So everything can be affected. So yeah, you should be concerned. You should try and keep away from certain things. You should try and
that was
and
my
deal
next question. So
diets,
what are the certain things? Are there certain? I mean, obviously this. Epigenetic journey is very individual. You have to pay attention to your body to understand it. But are there some things that we can say, you know, these are probably best to be avoided? And especially in the food category.
Of course. Simple sugars, for example, fructose, glucose, large amounts of drinks like apple juice, orange juice, these sweet drinks, pop, you know, any of those simple sugars have an adverse effect on the whole epigenetic change in your metabolism. So that's one category that you can get rid of. You can also increasing protein has an effect on the DNA expression, and all the way along the line to enzymatic, production, protein production, et cetera, and your metabolism and everything. So, you know, keeping away from any kind of contaminants, from plastics, from environment, as much as you can from the environment, eating foods that aren't full of insecticides and herbicides and all that kind of stuff, all that is going to have a positive function on your epigenetics as against a negative function if you don't follow, you know, the healthy guidelines.
What do you say to people, and I mean, this is, I have things that I say to them, but what do you say to people when they go, look, you know, the Food and Drug Administration of the United States, the equivalent in Canada, says, look, you know, these chemicals are safe in the levels that you find them on food. You shouldn't be afraid of them. What do you say to them?
That's bullshit.
I got to beep that now. I got to make sure
I know
what that is.
But it is. It's bull. Because what basically they're saying is on a general level, they believe that, you know, you take a certain number of people at that level, it's not going to affect them very much. But it's been shown that even very low levels of BPA have transgenerational effects.
Yeah.
Even very low levels. And these are below the guideline level. So, you know, I mean, what can the FDA do? They can't change the world. They've got to put some guidelines somewhere. They've got to say, okay, well, we're not going to let these people go above this level. You know, because we think this level is relatively safe. Relatively. Mm-hmm. Is the word, but for some people, depending on how your genetic and epigenetic and epimutations and mutations, etc., how they're made, even extremely low levels can have a profound effect. So, you know, my advice is keep away from as much as you can. You know, I mean, you go to a grocery store, what's everything packaged in? Plastic. Vegetables, plastic, you know, fruits, they're plastic. And if they're not in plastic, you put them in plastic bags.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, they're saying that in 25 years, the world is going to have so much plastic that the ocean will be half full of plastic and half full of water.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
It's just ridiculous. So keeping away from that as much as you can, keeping everything as organic as you can, I mean, that's really important. You know, when you go to a grocery store, how can you tell? I mean, the nutrition panel doesn't tell you, oh, yeah, well, this thing's contaminated all the heck.
Right.
But, you know, we think it's relatively safe, so why should you care? It's cheap.
What
cheap, unfortunately, is another word that's important.
Yeah, I know.
Poor people, you know, they don't eat as healthily because they go to the fast food places where the food is a lot cheaper than if they buy it, you know, more expensively at the grocery stores and cook it and, you know, all the expenses that's involved in. So, you know, if you can, you just try and get as natural as you can and keep away from as much of the contaminants as you can. And that's, in this world, it's extremely difficult to do because contaminants are everywhere, the water, the air, the food, et cetera. You just try to keep it to as low a level as you can, and I think in the end you're going to benefit epigenetically and genetically. Transmission into your future generations is also important. When a woman's pregnant, for example, she should be extremely careful of her nutrition.
Everything.
Keep away from the sugary foods. Keep away from smoking, alcohol, all that kind of stuff, because these can all have deleterious effects on the actual epigenome.
So I want to take our break now, because when I come back, I want to ask you, when someone eats a lot of, let's say, sugar, and they start to develop diabetes, my question is going to be, does diabetes cause epigenetic changes, or is it the epigenetic changes that cause diabetes? I want to hear your point of view on that, okay?
Sure, no problem.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Dr. Marl DePasquale.
Has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, Thrive Advanced Protein is now available at the website thriveprotein.com, T-H-R-I-V-protein.com, in honor of the Arnold Sports Festival. You can use the coupon code ARNOLDCLASSIC to save 50% off your order of Thrive Advanced. Check it out. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. We're talking about epigenetics right now. Dr. DiPasquale, go ahead and plug your website too, please, because I know that we have a lot of people signing up for your newsletter now too. Tell them about that as well.
Yeah, the website is www.mauromd.com. It's my interim website. My major website is being done at this moment. It'll be online in a couple months. It'll be much, much better. But you can sign on to the newsletter from the website, or you can contact me directly at md.mdplus@gmail.com, and that'll get you the newsletter, and we can go from there. The newsletter won't start up for another couple of weeks, but it's good to get the name in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So going into the break, I was thinking about it when you were talking about this whole process and about disease states, and I'm thinking, is it the epigenetic changes that cause the onset of insulin resistance, or does insulin resistance then create this transcription of the gene?
Okay, well, first of all, I think it's important to realize that we're in the early stages of understanding the limits, low or high, of whether, you know, the environmental effects are important, more important, or whether the raw genetic effects are more important. They're kind of each contributes to the final result of the person, you know, how he is in the world. In some cases, the genetics is very important. If you take Mendelian genetics, for example, which is the Gregor Mendel was really the father of modern genetics, but it was very simplistic genetics. He used pea plants. He was a monk. He used pea plants to find out, you know, various variations he can cause. And what basically happens is this. Each gene can have two alleles, in other words, two parts of the gene that can reflect one thing or another. And one can be dominant and one can be recessive, for example. I'll give you a simple example. Hair color. If the mother contributes an allele for red hair and the father contributes one for brown hair, the red hair allele is recessive. So the person, when he's born, will have brown hair. That's a very, very simplistic thing. Here we have genetics. You're not going to be affected much by epigenetics here. But most traits are much, much more complex and involve numerous genes and pathways and et cetera. And you can get epigenetic changes that can occur in the DNA, that can occur in the protein histones and the way they affect the DNA, in the RNA and the transmission and the translation and the proteins. I mean, there's the epigenome is huge, okay? So what affects what? That's a really hard thing to answer at this point, because we really don't have all the answers for that. But as far as, let's say, diabetes, the susceptibility to diabetes may be in the raw DNA. But the way you do your nutrition, the way you handle yourself, your weight, etc., can make it so that it slants towards the sort of non-inheritance, or at least in the world, of not having diabetes.
Right.
If you divert someone from that and you're prone to diabetes in the raw DNA, then you may become pre-diabetic. But if you gain a lot of weight, you eat a lot of crap food, pardon the language,
that's okay.
And don't exercise, etc., then you become a diabetic. Now, you take type 1 and type 2 diabetics. A type 1 diabetic is considered an autoimmune disease. Now, what they're thinking of that is bioengineering to correct that factor, because it is very genetically based,
right,
and it occurs very early. Now, type 2 diabetes, on the other hand, is very susceptible to environmental changes, to your lifestyle changes, to your nutrition, etc. So, you know, there's a whole gamut of where things lie on a genetic basis, on an epigenetic basis, and then on a phenotypic basis. If you take the epigenome some people take the epigenome as only DNA methylation. In other words, changes in the DNA structure, whether it's active or non-active, whether there's a promoter or a repressor gene affects it, etc. Whereas they may not take the histone methylation. The histone, which is a protein, you can liken it to a spool of thread. The histone would be the wooden part, and the DNA would wind around it tightly, okay?
Right.
Now, depending on how tightly it's wound around and how the histones and the proteins react, whether they're methylated, not methylated, and other changes, the expression will be different. And your environment has an effect on all these tags that are affected by the environment. And these tags can change the effect of the process all the way from the DNA, the raw DNA, right to your final phenotype, you know, the way you are as far as body composition, performance, etc. Now, you are limited. If someone, for example, no matter what they do, no matter what happens to them in any stage, their IQ may never reach Einstein's level. Okay, so we're looking at the old aspects of nature versus nurture.
Nurture, right
here.
Right.
And what we do is the nature, which is your raw DNA, places you within certain boundaries, and you can be anywhere within those boundaries.
Gotcha.
Now, nobody really knows what the boundaries are. I mean, do you know what your boundaries are?
No.
For diabetes, no. Hypertension, et cetera?
No.
But on the other hand, let's take something simple like height. Boundaries may be between, 3 foot two and 7 foot two. Okay? Huge boundary difference there. But let's say, gestationally, your mother, while you were in she was pregnant,
right,
had no food at all, then the chances are your growth will be stunted,
right?
So you won't reach that potential.
That's now, that's a great example of epigenetics at work right there.
Yeah, it is. Well, consider epigenetics though. Let's start right from the very beginning. The sperm and the egg get together and they form what they call a zygote. Okay, and that's a one cellular organism, which actually the DNA from the father and the mother divide, so the zygote actually has two sets of DNA, and then it divides into daughter cells where each cell has, normal DNA, just like every other cell in the body. But when you look at the complications and the things that happen in the zygote stage, if something happens environmentally at that stage when it's dividing into very primary stages, and a zygote, by the way, is the superhuman multi-potent cell. It can form anything. But if you take it from that stage and it starts dividing into two cells, four cells, eight cells, and it starts forming the fetal, the fetus, and then right into the baby, that's all epigenetic changes. Because what's happened is you're taking a multi-potent cell, which can become any cell in the body, and as it divides, you're changing the potential of each one of these cells to become a kidney cell, a liver cell, a brain cell, etc. These are all epigenetic changes. So epigenetics covers much more than just environmental influences. There's internal influences, and at every stage, the environmental influence can have an effect on what the division does and the metabolism in that cell and the propensity towards tissue and even whole organ systems. So it's very complex, and we really don't have all the answers to this. I mean, I've been following this for a long time. I mean, I graduated in majoring in genetics in, it was 1968.
Huh. I was 10 years old.
I've been working on it ever since then. And, I've got thousands and thousands of pages on this that I've worked on, et cetera. And I intended to put this in writing, but it's very complex. So we don't have all the answers.
No.
There's no doubt that the environment will change your potential within certain raw DNA limits.
I have one more question for this segment before we take our next break. The emerging interest in the microbiome, not only for disease states, but actually a potential target for reversing disease and even improving longevity and health overall, is a very, very exciting frontier today.
Yeah,
when we study the microbiome, what we find out is that there is a yin and yang between the microbes that inhabit us in every system and every hormone in our body. Is there a relationship between the microbiome and epigenetic changes?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the microbiome is involved as part of our environment to make epigenetic changes. And I would like to do a whole show on the microbiome because it's fascinating.
Well, we can do that. We can do that.
But there's no doubt that it has significant epigenetic changes. It changes the macronutrients in your body. Short-chain fatty acids, all kinds of different things that come from the microbes that enter into the system, including aspects of gluconeogenesis, the TCA cycle, et cetera. There's an interaction between us and the microbiome, and this is the gastrointestinal one, but there are also interactions with other microbiomes in our body, our skin, various aspects of our bodies that are affected by viruses, by bacteria, by fungi, by a number of things, you know.
We just learned, so the people who enjoy the ketogenic diet, we just found out recently through a study that the reason some people don't produce ketones is because they're missing one of the microbes. So there's two microbes that create butyrate in the stomach. One creates something that it passes on to the other, and when the other consumes it, it poops out the whole butyrate molecule. And so there is a breakdown in the diversity of these two microbes, and some people just can't produce ketones no matter how hard they try.
No, you're right, and that's just a small portion of what happens with the microbiome as far as the effects it has on our metabolism, macronutrient metabolism, energy metabolism, many, many aspects of what we are. You know, when I first heard of this, this was decades ago, that the organisms in our body could actually make a difference in our body composition. My first thought was, are you nuts? Yeah. These are bugs, you know? But our actual DNA makeup includes bacterial and viral genomes.
Ah.
So we have a long history, huge history, obviously, way, way, way back before even hominids, you know, that we have interacted with the microbiome and actually have incorporated parts of their DNA into our DNA.
Wow.
And so here we have a whole sectional area that we have our DNA, which has some of the microbiome DNA, can interact with the DNA of the microbiome that we presently have. We can change that microbiome to our advantage as well.
Well, and that's the last break we're taking now. When I come back, have you discovered any ways, you know, biohacking is all the rage today, finding ways to leverage weaknesses in the human condition to turn them into strengths. I want to talk about, have you discovered any ways to affect the epigenetic changes in a person's body for an athlete, for someone who wants to be stronger, be leaner, be faster, whatever, okay? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break, okay?
Sure, okay.
All right. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all 4 forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop. Shop for all things hemp on the web.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles. And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegish.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
We're all going on a summer holiday. Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. His website is Mauro, M-A-U-R-O-M-D.com, to learn more. If you don't know who he is, you've been living under a rock. So are there any ways to leverage what we know about epigenetics if our goal is to be more athletic, stronger, leaner? If that's our primary goal, is performance?
Yeah, well, as you know, there are genetic modifications in different people that sort of predispose them to increasing endurance. Mutations, for example, the myostatin gene will increase muscle hypertrophy, so that, you know, probably a lot of the major bodybuilders, besides all the drugs they use, probably have myostatin deficiencies.
Right.
So, yeah, and there's certain genes involved with endurance. So some people are more endurance prone. But, you know, what we don't know is what is the capability of epigenetic changes to actually change these things into something that somebody wants: increased muscle mass, improved body composition, improved performance, etc. This is one of the things I mentioned earlier. We don't know what our capabilities are because we haven't tried to change them. So certain kinds of training, certain kinds of eating, nutrition, which will work for one, may not work as well for the other.
Oh.
You know. Now, I'll give you an example. They did a study in which they tested the insulin response to various foods in different people, and they would take these. With a small group of people, but they would take them and introduce a certain food and then take blood samples, check the insulin response, etc. And in one woman, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this, in one woman, what spiked insulin the most okay? And this involved giving them straight sugar, giving them carbonated sugar drinks, protein, myosin, you know, I should say the whey proteins, etc.
Right.
You know, and fruits and vegetables and stuff. You know what spiked their insulin through the roof?
What?
Was tomatoes.
Really?
Tomatoes. Now, talk about something that she wouldn't have a clue about, right?
Right.
So what we need to do, obviously, you know, right now, people don't have the tools to be able to look at every single thing that they take in to see what effects it has, for example, on protein synthesis, what effects it has on recovery, what effects it has on many aspects of athletic performance and body composition. But you can certainly try variations, you know. How much protein do you need? Mm-hmm. Protein before bed, is that going to help? I think most people it will, some people it won't. Protein during training, which a lot of people don't take. What kind of protein? What other macronutrients, micronutrients are useful before, during, after, recovery period, et cetera, which is something I'm working on and something I always think about when I formulate my supplements.
Right.
But, the whole field of biogenetic, bioepigenetic manipulation is huge. Genetic engineering, DNA insertions from one species to another. Pigs now are producing human insulin, for example.
Yeah, I know. Because of
that. But get this now. The thinking now is that pigs can actually produce human organs. So, if you change the genetic makeup and apply epigenetic modifications as well, you can actually have a pig with a human heart that you can take out and use for someone who needs a heart, a transplantation.
Wow.
This is coming, okay?
Yeah.
So it's a complex field. First of all, how do you find out, and this is only through experimentation, what capabilities you have for endurance, what capabilities you have for muscle mass, what capabilities you have for a lot of things. Some people are going to be sort of limited by what I mentioned before, you know, sort of the genetic limitations, which can be quite wide, and you can be at the upper end, if you do things right and you experiment on yourself and find out things, or it can be at the lower end. Now, you know you can do this also by, you know, artificial means. Obviously, you know, people taking huge amounts of testosterone,
right,
growth hormone, IGF-1, using insulin as well, clambuterol, thyroid hormones, etc., are manipulating their natural genetics in an epigenetic way to maximize what they want to maximize.
Interesting.
Okay?
I never thought of it that way. You're right.
Yeah. But genetic engineering is being done now as well, where you can take gene additions, transgenes, you can add it to the genome at random locations, you can do it in specific sites to produce specific effects. Your natural genes can be disrupted, it can be recombined, you know, all this is not just theory, some of it is actually being done, but there's still a lot of theory behind it, and we have a long way to go before we actually do that. But technically, In the near future, you could have a very, and WADA is aware of this as far as drug testing stuff, you can have a genetically modified athlete that is intelligently modified through the research that's been done to be a super athlete.
Why do you say intelligently modified? Because, in other words, like not some extreme muscle-bound freak just for the sake of producing one.
No, but intelligently modified according to the research that has been done that will produce these results in humans, not just animals, because you gotta be careful. There was a study done on, and I think we're gonna discuss this next, in the next session, but L-carnitine. Now, there was a study that came out that said choline, L-carnitine, all these compounds result in TMA formation, which turns into a compound which is very harmful to the body as far as cancer biogenesis, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Now, what they forgot to mention was they said they were using mice, you know, rodents for this, but they forgot to mention that these rodents lacked an enzyme, which humans have, which actually make the L-carnitine and choline, to provide a healthy background,
right,
rather than an unhealthy one.
Right.
Okay, so we'll be discussing this when we discuss.
So, in other words, the point you're trying to make is that not everything that happens in rodents that means that it's meaningful to humans.
Exactly. What has to be done, of course. I mean, rodents are. I mean, who cares about mice? I mean, I shouldn't say that, but you know, you can use them for research, and but you don't want to use a human for research. I mean,
no.
You know, Okay, we're going to execute these humans to find out exactly what happened when we did this. You know, even monkeys, for example, monkeys would be great. Apes and stuff like that. But again, we're dealing with ethical issues there as well. So we're stuck with the rodents, but then it has to be translated into humans because there's so many differences, you know, and so many studies come out, and then you hear about it in the news, you hear about it in the magazines, it's all over the internet. This study produced this, and it was much healthier to do something this way rather than that way. But then it's done in mice. It hasn't been transmitted. It hasn't been tried out to see if the same results occur in humans.
Right.
But it still comes out. It's almost like Hollywood, you know. It's entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what a lot of science has become these days, to be honest.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think we could spend a whole session on that one too. I've got all kinds of ideas about why and how this can be changed, but you know.
So, in a summary, what do you want people to take away from this discussion about epigenetics?
I want people to take away the fact that they have possibilities that they're not even aware of until they try them out and try various methods of doing things. For example, let's take a simple example, a power lifter. All right? Now, a guy wants to go into powerlifting, but he's really doesn't feel he's that strong. So he starts experimenting with various ways of doing things, various diets, etc. But mentally, he's got the drive. Okay? Now that is part of his genetic makeup. That mental part may in fact make him a champion. Even though he may not have the genetics of somebody else.
Right.
And I can compare that in my own case, you know. I had the mental aspects. I wasn't as genetically gifted or epigenetically gifted as well as one of my training partners. I had a training partner, for example, that was in the 181-pound class. I was in the 165-pound class. He was made up a certain way. He took 6 months off training. He came back and he did reps of 450 in the bench press. Okay?
Yeah.
And his diet was not great. Now, I changed the diet and, you know, I helped him. I coached him. And he won the world championships. But it just goes to show you, you don't know what you've got in you until you really try various methods, various things, listen to, you know, listen to what people are saying and sort of parse things out yourself.
Yeah, it's really important to pay attention. But you know what? It takes a lifetime of training, in my humble opinion, to get to the point where you're sensitive enough and aware enough to pay attention to your training and have that attention make meaningful changes.
It
took me a long time to understand. I mean, I'm making better gains now than I did when I was in my mid to late 40s, because I've discovered some things about myself, and I never realized it before, and it was always in front of me, but I just never put it all together.
Now, you could be a violin concerto. You could have that gift, but you've never played the violin.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Good point.
And it means
great
that
point.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, for example, I started training when I was 13. I made my own weights out of rebar and stuff like that, you know, because I didn't have the money to buy weights at the time. But I didn't win my first championships, my first world championships in powerlifting until I was 35.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I have all those years to train and try out diets. And, you know, I was into the diets almost right away. I used to go down to downtown in Toronto, and there was a health club called Raleigh's, and they used to carry Iron Man. I used to buy Iron Man all the time, whatever I could, and learn on that. And then from then, obviously, I carried on to my research in university, you know, the research course I took, and then I switched from research into medicine. But, you know, it takes time to learn what your possibilities and what your potential are, and people shouldn't give up.
No.
You know, especially if they have the mental as well.
Yeah, if they're hard workers, that's something you're either born with or you're not, to be a hard worker. To somebody who loves to train hard. We did a whole show on this idea that they're a working group human, just like there's a working group of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're working dogs, and there's working humans that we have been selected over generation and generation for our strength. The women selected men because of their strength, and they had offspring that was strong. And those of us who love to train, that we get into the gym and we do things that other people go, my God, I can't believe you're doing that. And you feel this sense of life. You feel great when you're done. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you something. When I was weighing about 165 pounds and I was training for the championships, I would do quarter squats with 1,200 pounds.
Wow.
I would actually pick the weight up, you know, the squat position, I'd back up with the weight, do my quarter squats, and then go back in. Of course, I had two spotters.
Right.
Just in case I went a little too far and I, you know, went through the floor. But, you know, it's the drive. It's important. But also, it's a combination of finding out what potential you have in yourself by trying all kinds of different things.
Right.
It's really important.
Yeah. No, I agree.
That's where the epigenetic changes come from. That's where you uncover, you know, the highest potential you have in a certain aspect of your life, of you know, your lifestyle, your you know, what you can do as far as your goals, et cetera.
A great discussion about epigenetics. Next show is going to be even better. I can promise you, you're not going to want to miss the next show when we talk about carnitine, right?
No. We're going to cover all aspects of carnitine.
But all aspects of carnitine. But it's going to be an amazing discussion that's going to make you want to run out and buy carnitine again. I can promise you.
You know what? I wrote about carnitine back in the late 1970s.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was in my book in 84. I had a whole section on it. It's a long time.
The website is MauroMD, MauroMD.com. Go there, check it out, sign up for the newsletter, and we'll talk to you soon again, Dr. DePasquale.
Yep, my pleasure.
Okay. And we want to also thank Dr. Karen Weichel for coming on and talking about AMPK and its role in disease states. And we will see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Don't forget to check out Thrive.com, T-H-R-I-V, protein.com.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about